That's right. So Priscilla Schreier, oh, man. She's like one of the queens of women's ministry. Oh, her and Beth Moore. And oh, she is such a gifted communicator. No joke. I mean, as far as communication skills go, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's a 13. I mean, her ability to tell a story, keep you engaged, make you laugh, and then at the next moment bring you to the point of tears. It's absolutely amazing. But she doesn't rightly handle God's word, like, at all. No, in fact, she's actually she's a purveyor of the dream destiny thingy doctrine, twister of God's word, and flirts with the prosperity heresy. Yeah, you don't believe me? Here's Priscilla Schreier and her message titled Aspiring to Abundance. Here we go.
The final week of our journey together. I pray that this has made a difference in your life, made an imprint, that it's marked you, that it won't just be another Bible study that we've all done together, but in these 6 weeks, we've taken a journey that has actually gotten us to a destination that we will never move from again. And so we've traveled with the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness, and now they are standing on the edge of the promised land, right on the east side of the River Jordan. All they have left is to cross this body of water. And we're going to follow them on this journey to find out the characteristics that need to be a part of our lives in order to make the final steps necessary in order to walk into the land of milk and honey, promised land living in our everyday life as well. And so if
what we need to do to enter our promised land, promised land living, the land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, this is where it helps if you know how the New Testament interprets for us the Old Testament. Yeah, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible actually tells us what that promised land was pointing to. You see, in the Old Testament, it's type and shadow. The fulfillment is always going to be found in Christ, but since the question comes up, when we talk about the promised land, big topic, by the way, you know, what are we talking about? Promised land living. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have health and wealth and prosperity and a purpose and influence and affluence. And is that what the promised land is? Nope, not at all. No. No, you see, the promised land the children of Israel went into, type and shadow, points to the reality. What is the reality? Well, let's let Hebrews 11 explain that to us. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So Hebrews 11:10 says the thing he was really looking for was a city whose foundation and designer and builder is God. Which city is that? It ain't here. It ain't there. It weren't there at the time. So, you know, that U2 song, he still hasn't found what he's looking for, kind of comes to mind here. So the thing he was really looking for wasn't even in the promised land? Right, because the promised land was pointing to it. So, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these all died in faith. Watch this, verse 13, not having received the things promised. Abraham died, did not receive the thing promised. Sarah died, did not receive the thing promised. In other words, they weren't really in the promised land. They were in the land of promise that pointed to the real promised land. Okay, so all of these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That was the whole point of Abraham's sojourning, was to, you know, acknowledge that they were actually sojourners and strangers on the earth. Children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, a people without a country. Right, that was the point, that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's all this, what's going on here. For people who speak thus make it clear they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And we know what that city is when we read the back of the book. Yeah, that's right. If you haven't read the back of the Bible, I must apologize. Spoiler alert, you're going to hear something that you probably didn't know was coming. And here's what it says in Revelation 21. If you haven't read this, I apologize. We're spoiling it for you. Here's what it says, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have all passed away. So you'll notice, Hebrews 11 makes it clear the promised land was type and shadow. And it always pointed to the reality, which was the new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. World without end, where God's dwelling place is with man. That's the promised land. That's the promise, eternal life. Haven't you all noticed we're all dying? Yeah, you get the, and Abraham died, and it says he died not having received the promises, but greeted them from afar. Right. So when Priscilla Schreier here talks about, oh, here's the things that we've got to do in order to prepare ourselves to experience promised land living in the here and the now, immediately, I know she's not telling the truth. She has no idea how the Bible interprets the promised land in the book of Hebrews, and she's imposing her own concept of promised land on the Bible itself.
Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we meet the character Joshua with this book that is named after him, their fearless second leader. After Moses came Joshua, and we're going to learn something from Joshua and the change in leadership. In my Bible, in the New American Standard Version, or at least this copy of it, when I look at Joshua 1, right above it is the last chapter and the last few verses of Deuteronomy. And so I didn't even have to turn any pages to notice something in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. So if maybe you just look up, or maybe you have to turn back a page in your Bible, look at Deuteronomy 34, 7. It says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. Listen to verse 8. The sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Verse 9, first two words, now Joshua. It's important that you notice that before Joshua steps on the scene, before something is birthed, something new comes to life, someone else, something else has to die. Moses and Joshua.
Oh, man. So what needs to die in your life? Moses had to die so the children of Israel could go to their promised land. So what needs to die in your life? What I'm. Ugh.
Represent two different paradigms of leadership, two different directions that the people of Israel were following. And in order for this last crossing to occur, one of those paradigms had to die so that they could turn their attention to another one and follow it fully and completely into the land of promise. Listen, as we've gone through this 6 weeks together, I bet the Holy Spirit has poked and prodded, convicted and challenged, and there are probably some things that have to die in your life in order for you to make this last leg of the journey. Might be some relationships, might be some attitudes, might be some habits, some lifestyle choices.
But yeah, certain your Moses needs to die, man. Kill him, kill him, kill your Moses so that you can go into the promised land. What on earth is this?
In order for us to move from just kind of a pew kind of Christianity to a Christianity that walks out in our day-to-day living, where we experience all that we've seen and all that we've heard, something's going to die. And let me tell you this, when it does, I'm going to give you permission to mourn for a little while. But then verse 8 said, the time of mourning had to come to an end.
Priscilla Schreier is going to give you permission to mourn for a little bit when you kill your Moses. Oh, I'm glad you have that authority, Priscilla. I'm so glad you do, because, oh, after I'm done killing my Moses, man, I'm going to probably need like 28, 29, maybe even 30 whole days.
There has to come a time where you just kind of get over it and get on with it. In fact, the children of Israel, it says, mourn for 30 days. In the Old Testament time, the official time for mourning was about 7 days. That would have been the norm. And mourning meant more than just crying. It meant more than just being saddened in your heart. They had a series of rituals that they went through each and every day that lamented the loss of the person that they were mourning for. Well, Moses was their fearless leader. He was the one that they looked to for all of these years. He was the mediator between them and Yahweh. They cherished him. So they didn't just mourn for 7 days. They mourned for 30 days. So listen, I'm going to give you permission to mourn even for an extended period of time if you want to.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know I need a lot of days to mourn after my Moses dies.
I know giving up that relationship, giving up that lifestyle choice, giving up that habit might be difficult. So you go ahead and mourn, sister. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day where you've got to make a decision to stop mourning.
Right. Probably 40, 50 days in after I kill my Moses.
Over it and move on. The time for mourning does come to an end.
This is so insanely bad. Wow. This is like Narcissus with a blindfold. And she fell into the pit, man. I mean, wow. Oh, so bad. I'm going to... I have to stop there or I'm going to lose it. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube if you want to find the rest of that sermon. But wow, is that just ignorant. Holy smokes. Yeah, again, you think Priscilla Schreier, sound biblical teacher, not on your life. All right, we're up on our second break.